If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians 10, a very familiar chapter. And we've been talking about preeminence, meaning having first, highest, chief, and best place in a position of ascendancy over everything else. He has to have it, right? The place of ascendancy over everything else. Everything else. The only time I get in trouble is when I remove him from his ascendancy, when I don't give him first things in everything. When someone says something and whatever it is, you get offended or you get hurt or it doesn't go the way that you want or the car breaks down or whatever, the minute that something goes awry and we remove him from the place of ascendancy, that's where we always get into trouble. In 2 Corinthians, it teaches us a little bit about that in chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6. I'm going to read that. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." And I want to read it in the Passion Translation just because I like it. It says, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims." Ouch. Anybody besides me guilty of that in here? No, okay. Just me and my wife. "Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience." It's powerful, ain't it? All right, I'll read it again. "For although we live in a natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power." "To effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide." What are you hiding behind? That's the question. We're not worried about the world. Paul was talking to the church. So he's not talking to the world, he's talking to us. What are we hiding behind? It's a question that each one of us have to answer, amen? Because the world has yet to see one man or one woman completely given to the cause of Jesus Christ. Can we all agree? That we've all held back to a certain degree. We've all, tell your neighbor, say, "I'm done using you." Okay, because you've used your neighbor, whether it's a husband, a wife, a friend, a co-worker, whatever it is, we've used them as excuses why we haven't abandoned ourselves to the King. Can we agree on that? Right, so what is it that you're hiding behind? What is it that you're using that is not of God in order to stay where you are? That's what the question is. And let me tell you, I just sat and I meditated on this for my own life and saying, "Lord, you got to gut me. I got to, whatever it is, if there's anything," and we know that there are things in our lives, "whatever it is, Lord, I want it exposed before you, because when it's exposed before him, that's a safe place." Amen? Isn't that a safe place when the loving hand of the Father comes and he says, "Here, this is it right here. No, why don't you just hand that to me?" That's all he asks. He doesn't go in there and say, "Give me that, you stinking, spoiled brat." Those are your words you've used in the past. His words are, "Can you just give that to me and it won't consume you anymore?" and we sit there and we hang on. We say, yeah, but this I know. This I know. This is comfortable. He says, yeah, but if you give it to me, I'm going to bring you into a place of freedom more than you've ever enjoyed before. And so many times we've hidden behind that. And I just want to leave you with that thought that you need to go before your Father and just ask, say, Father, what am I hiding behind? What am I using as a barricade? As my excuse or as my reason for not being employed in the army and taking some kids and getting together to play soccer? We'll just use that simple one, right? What's stopping me from doing that? What is it that keeps me from believing that I don't have to go to Haiti in order to change people's lives? I don't have to be on the worship team in order to change people's lives. What hinders me? What am I using? Because those are the carnal weapons that he's talking about. He said, instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. Meaning that whatever God says is the truth and everything else has to surrender its authority to him. Amen? We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. So again, we see that the complete obedience is what destroys the rebellion in our lives. And every one of us have some type of rebellion in our lives. Okay, I'm going to look down for a minute. All right, because I've been beat up leaving church before, and I don't want to get beat up today. But some people won't tithe out of obedience to the scriptures. Some don't pray for their wives or read the word of God in their home or lead that way. Some deny the call of God in their lives. Some have taken the gift and set it aside and say, I've got other things more important to do for a while, and then I'll see you in a little bit, Lord. Not saying that's you, I'm just saying some. But those acts of disobedience are actually acts of rebellion, right? According to the word of God. And so if we're going to change the world, then we're going to have to bring our lives in subjection, and it's going to take divine power to break through in our lives. Can we all agree? We can't do it in the flesh. It's going to take the divine power of God to break through every area of every heart. That's why God didn't give us weaponry. Listen, man isn't the weaponry that God gave. But God gave each man and every woman the divine weaponry to accomplish the task. Amen? Right. Because you're not the answer. The Christ in you is the answer. I'm not the answer. The Christ in me is the answer. My words aren't the answer. His words flowing out of us, that's the answer. That's what digs up and breaks up that fallow ground and allows the truth or the love of God to permeate every heart. And that's where we have to stay. You know, when we sang that song, when I see the battle, you see the victory. You know, that's the wonderful thing about God. God doesn't see battles. He only sees victories, right? Because there's no battle he's ever going to lose. Can we all agree on that? Right, so if we agree with him, can you win every battle that you're in right now? Yeah, what's the biggest battle? Rebellion. Really is. It's us denying the power of God being made manifested in our lives or surrendering to that call, surrendering to the word, surrendering to prayer, surrendering to worship, or whatever it is. But it's always that issue in us that when we say, Daddy, here it is. Here's the reason why I've been holding back. He said, welcome to the victory. It's really that simple. When we let go of us, he takes us and he moves us into a place of victory. When we stay in control of us, we stay in the carnal defensive mindset always. We're always looking at people rather than him. But when we just start to look at him, people become a blessing. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a blessing. Tell your other neighbor, say, you are definitely a blessing. Isaiah, did you say that? You did? Okay, I'll wait, Isaiah. Go ahead and tell. All right, now that, tell the other one. All right, thank you, Isaiah. That's a good man. You've won the battle. You've won the victory, brother. But this is the key. This is the key when we look to him. You know, no matter the issue we're struggling with, there is a redemptive solution. And that's what I want. That's what the title today is, Redemptive Solution. And God gave us the solution, and it's right here in this. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, right? And he says, we don't war according to the flesh. The issue is, will we gravitate to the redemptive solution or the carnal solution? Which way are you going to gravitate today? You will have an opportunity. The waitress will be late. We went a couple weeks ago. We didn't know what happened, but I didn't get the memo. Nobody invited me. We showed up at the diner, and there were no seats because all the church took up all the seats. They were all sitting in their little groups, and none of them invited me. So, but anyway, we went in with a group, but we stood around and waited for about 15 minutes. And you know, nobody offered us their seat. I don't get it. But so we shunned them. And we went and looked for another diner that had a table. Because apparently there's good food in the place where they were, because everybody was, the saliva was running, the forks and knives were in their hands. It was incredible, a sight to see. But we decided, well, there's no sense standing here. Let's go find another diner. So we did. We went and found another diner. I think we had to go to like Massachusetts or something before there was one that had a seat. And so we get there, and then in comes another couple. They sat at the table for 15 or 20 minutes and couldn't even get a glass of water. Yeah, so I didn't feel so bad. I thought, well, that must be the favor of God. We didn't wait that long, you know what I mean? But and then they come in, so then they joined us in our group. You know, isn't that the way that the body works? Right? So we could have been mad and miserable and grumbling, complaining, but we were too hungry. But it's a decision that each one of us have to make. You're going to have an opportunity to either step into the carnal side of things and complain, or step into the spiritual side of things and say, okay, who are we going to meet? Who are we going to greet? Who else do you have for us to witness to, Lord? See, one of the two is going to consume your thought process, right? When it's an inconvenience to me, do I respond in my carnality? Or do I respond in the way that God called me to? Maybe this week, maybe you did respond in a carnal sense, or the five senses, you know? Or did we take it to the next level of Christianity? See, carnal power mode runs to the fortress of whatever fear, hurt, or addiction you had in the past, right? When we walk in our carnality, we walk in the flesh, then what happens is we run back to that fortress, we run back to that thought process that we had in the past that helped us and defeated it. We always revert, we always run back. But God said, I want you to walk forward. I want you to walk in victory. Amen? I don't want you running back, but our carnal man, that's what he wants to do, is he wants to go back either to what's familiar or back into a thought process that's not of God, which is a thought process that really stems in rebellion, because then we say, Father, your word isn't enough. Can we agree on that? Is his word enough for your salvation? Right? That's what he said. How about for your healing? For your deliverance? How about setting your whole family free? Right? So when we start to agree with him, we start to see the power of God manifested in our lives and through our lives in a supernatural way. Can we agree on that? But it's when we agree with him. Tell your neighbor, say, I'll only agree with you if you agree with him. I know that was a lot to remember. You see, we sang that song, are you singing louder than your unbelief? Yes. See, that's a thought process. Every situation you come into, do you start to sing of the victory that you have in Jesus Christ? Is it louder than the unbelief? Or is the unbelief louder? We know the song that everyone in here is singing. There's just no music behind it. Having preeminence, it means that he's allowed to go anywhere, do anything without opposition inside of us, right? It's overwhelming, unrestricted, absolute authority. Therefore, if he's going to have preeminence, he has to have absolute authority. His word has to have absolute authority. His spirit has to have absolute authority in your life. Everything about the word has to have preeminence or authority over every other thought that we have. The only one that consumes us is what he has to say. In every situation, do we go to the carnal warfare, which is what the scripture talks about. And it ends up being warfare, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Some of you were in a battle this week. You got the bruises to prove it. We can see it from here. Your eyes are still puffy. There's wounds that are scabbing over on your head. You're limped in here with a cane and crutches. Some came in on a gurney. You had to have people help you because the warfare was rough. But a lot of it was carnal in the way that we think, or maybe even the way that we spoke or responded to those. See, but I really believe that God is bringing us to a place that he wants us to switch from that carnal mode to divine power mode. I believe that's where he's taking us. You know, you can switch that in your truck. You can go to eco mode. Boring. Great gas mileage. You can pass mosquitoes, and that's about it in eco mode. You know what I mean? And then you go to power mode. Whop. It even changes the exhaust sound in my mind when I'm just turning it to power mode. It still sounds like, but not in my mind. In my mind, I hit power mode. It's whop, whop, whop. And we're ready to go. And nobody passes me. None when I get in power mode. It's just the way it works. But I believe that's where God wants to take us, to take us out of the carnal mode and take us into divine power mode. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, for we don't walk in the flesh, but we do war, and we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. There's a lot of fortresses that are inside the church that we have to deal with because there's a lot of them. There's garrisons outside of here that we're going to deal with eventually. Amen? There are, but we're going to have to deal with the fortresses that we have or the places that we go in our mind that are outside the word of God. And we're going to have to bring them into subjection to the word of God. And we're going to have to say, Lord, this is what you said. See, in divine power, we get x-ray vision. In divine power mode, normally when we're in the carnal. I can think it was cultural, pretty much the same. The carnal mode, all we see is with the natural eye. And we judge everything by the natural eye. But when we step over into that divine power mode, we get x-ray vision. You see, we start to be able to see through the schemes of the enemy, right? We know how this game plays out. We know she said something that bothered you, so you have to say something worse. Right? That's what we do in the carnal mode. Carnal mode, oh, you hurt me. Oh, I'm going back to the beginning and I'm going to bring up every single time that you hurt me. And baby, that's a big old bat and I'm bringing this base is loaded and I'm bringing the heavy on this one and we're going to give it a home run. That's where we go when we want to win in the carnal mode. But in the divine power mode, we get to see through it. And you know what we do then? We say, I'm sorry. And everything stops. Yeah. Try saying you're sorry this week and watch people say, are you okay? Did you fall and bump your head? What happened to you? You see, we have x-ray vision because then I can see the outcome of this.
Then the Spirit of God starts to say, okay, yeah, you were offended, but this isn't about you. How about you just say, listen, I apologize if I've done something wrong. And we can see through how quickly we can shut it down and then have a discussion about this. Everything was good this week with us, right? Mostly. Honey, come on. Everybody's listening. Well, she said, so is God listening, so she had to be honest. This preaching stuff is rough, I tell you. Anyway, Jesus loves me, this I know. But it gives us X-ray vision where we can say, I'm not falling for that again. How many times have you fallen for the same lie of the enemy? Right? But when we step into divine power mode and the Spirit of God, he says, don't say a word. And we hear that voice and it is huge in our heads. It echoes everything else. Don't say a word. We sit there. Did somebody say something? Because we still have an attitude. And we try to overpower. But I want you to know, when we step into that divine power mode, then it's simply, wait a minute, what did you say, Holy Spirit? He said, don't say a word. All right, I'm not going to say a word because I have X-ray vision. I can see where this is going. It's going to a dead end. I'm going to bring it to a place of fruition where we're going to win. And we're going to kick the devil out of the situation and we're going to walk through in victory. No matter what the situation is. It doesn't have to be between a husband and a wife. It doesn't have to be between children. It can be at workers. It can be anywhere we are that the Spirit of God wants you to see things beyond what you can see with your natural eyes. That's where he brings us. That's where he brings us. When you step into that divine mode, you already know the end of most every argument, don't you? You've had the same argument with 70 different people over the last 30 years. It may sound a little different. It may involve other things, but it's really at the root of it, it's pretty much the same argument. You have offended me. You didn't do what I like. I never get my way. How many times do we have to go around that same mountain before we finally say, okay, hang on a second, let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what the Word of God says about how we can work through this situation. They're really not that difficult. They're really not. Now, there are abuses in the past. Let me tell you something. They're tough. They're hard. It takes time to get your mind wrapped around that and your heart healed. But then eventually, you're going to have to not allow that. I couldn't allow the things that were in my heart to continue in my life because it would have destroyed my marriage and my relationship with my kids. Mike, we were okay this week, right? The son of my loins! Sheesh! You know what? You are your mother's son. I didn't even see you this week. Jenny, is everything okay with you and me? She's my favorite. Yep, she's the reason you're still in the will, boy. You see, the issue always is, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond from the carnal way? Are you going to fight in the carnal and the natural with words, with attitudes, with ignorance, or whatever it is, with your hands, with your tongue? Or are we going to fight divine through the Word of God and ask questions? And we're going to back off and say, wait a minute, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. Therefore, they're not attacking me. It's the Christ on the inside of me. And God's trying to teach me something in the midst of this. Or maybe I did something wrong and I don't even see it because I'm blind. And every man in here said, amen. We've done some things we didn't even know we were doing wrong. And then we got married. And we found out a lot of things we were doing was wrong. But then God wants to take us to another place, and he wants us to use that divine knowledge that he has given us through the word of God. Ephesians 3:16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. You see, if we're going to walk in the divine power mode, your inner man has to change. Otherwise, that outer man is going to have all of the authority where we walk. You can't... Sometimes, you know, we hear that you can't do that, but in divine power mode, he says that all things are possible through them that what? Believe. How many in here have been asked to do something by the Lord and said, oh, Lord, I don't know? Or maybe even by people around you and said, oh, Lord, I don't know. Mark 11, 22 to 24, it says, Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in who? In God. See, divine power mode starts with having faith in God. Not in what you've done, not in who you are, not in what you possess, not in where you've been, not in anything to do with you, but have faith in God. And when you have faith in God, it goes into verse 23 and 24, and it says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, tell your neighbor, say that whoever means you. All right, it says that a mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. And listen, there's mountains in your life right now. Some people have mountains in their lives that they haven't gotten rid of. There's still mountains. Again, I'm looking down, okay? I don't even want to look at my wife at this point right now, you know, because I'm not sure. I got wounds everywhere. But everyone, you know, there's many mountains in here that people aren't speaking to according to the word of God and allowing the mountain to dictate. The mountain will dictate if you allow it. But God said, you're to speak to this mountain. What are you supposed to speak? Words of faith, according to the word of God. With God, this is possible. My healing becomes complete through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I've been wounded by men. God never wounded me. The only thing he's ever done is tried to bring healing into my life. So I've got to start to speak to whatever mountain is in my mind, my heart, my will, my emotions, whatever it is. You see, if we're going to go into divine power mode, we're going to make that switch. At eco mode, you can't do anything. You can't even get out of a ditch in eco mode. But you turn it to divine power mode. The next thing you know, you don't have to drive over top of mountains. You just speak to the mountain. And it starts to change. See, the difference is have faith in what God said rather than what happened, who I am, or what I have done. Because if I look at what I had done before Christ, then I'm going to do nothing the rest of my life because I'll never feel like I deserve anything good from God or I'm worthy to be used by God. It's that simple. I don't know about you. You guys probably live nice lives. I did not. And so therefore, if I go back there, the enemy used to use that as a weapon. It was a mountain in my life. And until I started to agree with what he said, that mountain consumed and controlled me with the feelings of unworthiness, no ability, failure, all of these things. These were mountains in my life that I had to get rid of. And eventually, men and women of God got around and they were praying. Of course, my mom never stopped praying. Kathy Matthijs never stopped praying because they knew the basket case I was. But they kept praying, and because of that, transformation started to come in my heart. And as I read the word of God and my bride praying constantly for me, everything, eventually one mountain after another was ripped out and cast into the sea. One at a time was cast out. And then the thought, maybe we could do this. Right? Because I told you many times in 89 when they prophesied that I would preach the gospel and travel the world, Bren would lead worship, and her voice would sound a lot like God's. Sometimes. And it has. Everything has come to pass. But there were so many mountains in the beginning, I couldn't believe that God was that good. It was stuff I wanted to do. But I wasn't sure if God was that good. But then eventually, divine power mode turned in. And I started to agree with what he said. And the more I started to agree with what he said, another door would open. And what he said was, serve. Yes, sir. So we served.
And then the one, Pastor Finn came to me the one time and he said, hey, listen, we've got a strained relationship over in England and we need you and Brenda to go over because we think you guys could restore it. I was like, you sure you got the right person? Yeah, we're going to pay your tickets. I'm there. I'm good. I'm in. Where do you want me to go? France after that? Maybe Spain or Italy? I'll go wherever you want. How many damaged relationships you got around the world? I'm your man. But I was so shocked that they had desired to send me and my bride to go restore a pastor that I've never met. Never heard of him before. And I thought, what is going on? But I realized that mountains started being removed before that. And now we were ready to go and accomplish a task that I never thought possible. That another pastor would allow us to speak into their lives. Who am I? I'm the youth pastor at our church. This guy's been pastoring a church in England for years. We went over there to England. We had the best time with those guys. We laughed the whole time we were there. And we restored. I put a new boiler in for him, too, while I was there. But he became my friend then because we saved him like 2,500 pounds, which is like about $4,000 back then. And only took about a day. We were there for 5 days. And it was all metric. Yeah. Yep. I had no idea what I was doing. He said, what size you want? This size. And I gave him parts that I had in my hand because I had no idea what they called them. But we got it in. And we spent time with them. And you know what? God used us to restore not only them with the other pastors that they were estranged from, but even husband and wife. There was a breakthrough there in their lives. And me and my wife, we were just having fun. We were just being who we are. And we just laughed and cut up. We prayed a lot with them, and we encouraged them, and we preached there and all of that stuff. But it was because mountains started to move, then all of a sudden another door opened. And I really want you to understand that if we walk in divine power mode, tell your neighbor, say divine power mode, okay? We got to get out of eco mode. Come on, guys, no. Nobody drives an eco mode in here. Don't raise your hands, please. Don't raise your hands. We got to get out of into divine power mode. It goes on in verse 24 to say, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you receive them, and then they will be granted to you. That's powerful. Mark 1:27, it says, and they were all amazed, so they debated among themselves, saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. That's divine power mode. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, where does he dwell? In you. Tell your neighbor, say, in me. In me. Tell your other neighbor, say, oh, in me. That's right. It reigns and rules in you, but the only way you're going to allow him out, he wants out. He's been deposited in you for the world to be changed and transformed. Amen? But you're holding a mountain in front of him and saying, I can't be used yet. This is too big. Don't you understand what's going on in my life, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit says, yeah, I do. I do. Just speak to it. Say to that mountain, be thou removed. Now I'm going to say, my God is able. Now. My God is able. Now. See, it's always waiting until someone else. You don't need another prophetic word. There's more prophetic words for you in here than anywhere else on the planet. And they're delivering words. They're healing words. They're salvation words. They're words for every area of our lives. Some think that they're not good enough. Maybe someone on the earth told you that. This takes divine power mode to break through in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's one woman that I worked with for years. I did a Bible study in her house, and for probably 15 years, walking at different times together, and towards the end, still had a hard time believing that God would forgive her of her sins. Bible study after Bible study, saying the same thing the Word of God said. You know what the problem was? She decided that the mountain, her mistake, that mountain sitting in front of her, was bigger than God's love towards her.
She said, no, the power of God is smaller than this mountain, something I have done in my natural body, in my natural mind, with my natural tongue, is greater than the King who created me and the universe and everything else in it. How many people, if you're sitting here today, I'm looking down again, there's a mountain that's been in your life and you have kept it there, you have left it there, you have said, nope, I'm not going into divine power mode, I'm going to stay in eco mode. And I'm going to blame everybody else, I'm going to blame everything else that's going on in my life because I don't think God's big enough to deal with this. And I don't think his word is that powerful. I want you to know it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you'll give it preeminence in our lives, if we give it preeminence in our lives, there is nothing that can't change in your life. Nothing. There's nothing that can't change in your children. There's nothing that can't change in your grandchildren. Nothing that can't change on your job. There's nothing that can't change in any situation or any relationship you're in. And I really believe all the relationships that you're in there for a reason.
That's right.
Some you're the answer for, and some they're the answer for you. That's why I need you guys in my life. Because you guys are the answer for Columbia Green and the surrounding counties. You're the answer in all different areas. But we're going to have to let go of those mountains and release them from our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:16. You want to start bringing them up, Tom? Sorry. They're coming? Bringing all the little kids up because they want to show you the pictures of them at camp last week. All right? So I just got to try to get through this quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. How often?
Day by day.
Tell your neighbor, say, you look stronger than yesterday. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
Old things of what? Old things of what? Old things of what? Behold, all things have become
new.
Old things passed away. Did they? Or do we go over with a shovel? Sometimes we need an excavator to get deep enough in order to dig up that old man, in order to dig up them old things that we've done, in order to dig up the old relationships that we're in order to dig up the old foolishness that we ran about doing. Old things have gone. Ephesians 1:18 and 19, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Divine power mode. Divine power mode. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Enough of what you want to do. How about the hope of his calling? What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us? Ooh, that's divine power. His power towards us. Did he say he would withhold no good thing from you? Okay, did he tell the rest of you the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. Now you're in agreement with me. He said, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, toward us who believe, toward us who believe that his power is for us, toward us who believe that his spirit is deposited in us, towards us who believe that all things have been made new, towards us who believe that all things have become possible, towards us who believe that when we speak to the mountain, we say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, it shall be removed. Amen? To those who believe, that's divine power mode. Those who believe.
Yes.
And you can't lose. You know, we sang that song, Be Exalted Higher and Higher. It happens when we respond according to the word. He's lifted higher when we respond correctly to what the word says. That's when God's magnified. We sing songs, why? Because he tells us to lift up our voices unto him, amen? To proclaim him, to give him glory, to sing a new song. He teaches us that. So that's an act of obedience, and he's glorified. He's also glorified more when we just walk, because that's an act of obedience. And he's glorified every time we walk in an act of obedience, right?
Yes.
Every single time. Whether it's giving, whether it's serving, whether it's loving, whether it's praying, whether it's forgiving. Oh, my goodness. That's a weak seminar by itself. But that's divine power mode. when we start to go in and say, yeah, you're forgiven. You're released from everything you've ever done. You're released. Tell your neighbors, I forgive you. Tell your other neighbors, I forgive you. Now, some would say that's so shallow. No, that's so spiritual.
Amen.
That's the beginning of what God wants to do in each one of us. Amen? Forgiving those who have offended me. She's batting her eyes at me. And I just go, you're forgiven. Revelations 12:11, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and what? The what? The what? Right. So your testimony is that the word of God is powerful enough. Divine power mode. The word of your testimony is, I forgive them no matter what they have done. Divine power mode. The word of your testimony is, I believe God's word over my life. Divine power mode. I believe that there's a calling on my life and he's already empowered me to accomplish it. Divine power mode. I'll no longer use men and women for an excuse for why I'm not acting out on what God has called me to do. Divine power mode. See, that, I always want to say culture. What is it? Carnal. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with that.
They're synonymous. It's okay.
Yeah, culture. They're synonymous. Synonyms. The carnal mind, it keeps using and putting mountains and building them one on top of another. God said, I want to wash that all away. I want you in divine power mode.
Amen.
Because what I've got for you to do is supernatural and you can't do it in your flesh. But until we take your flesh and we make it submit to the authority of my word and through the leading of the Spirit, you're going to limit what I can do through your life. So in active obedience, Jesus did what he saw and heard in eternity. Amen?
Amen.
That's all he did. That's all he did. Was he cursed by men? Yeah, they cursed him, right? Was he abused and misused? Was he lied about? Everything, all the things that you have had happen to you and myself, all of those things. And yet, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't even realize that they're acting so carnal. You're the spiritual ones. When you step out and you forgive them, divine power mode. You're not playing games in the flesh any longer. You're not messing around in the way the world deals with things. Now you're doing them the way that they do it in eternity and letting them go, which is setting you free. Amen? Mm-hmm.